reading from the Gospel of St. John. The Jews started arguing with one another. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" they said. Jesus replied, "I tell you most solemnly, if you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, he will not have life in you. Anyone who does eat my flesh and drink my blood has eternal life, and I shall raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I live in him. As I, who am sent by the living Father, myself draw life from the Father, so whoever eats me will draw life from me. This is the bread come down from heaven, not like the bread our ancestors ate. They are dead. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever." He taught this doctrine at Capernaum in the synagogue. And this is the Gospel of the Lord. I've been to New York a couple of times to stay with the Dominican Brethren, just for a few days. And both times I crossed the Brooklyn Bridge. First time on foot, second time on a bike. I didn't see much of Brooklyn. I think I'm a little embarrassed about Brooklyn, because the first time I crossed the bridge, there were some students from one of the colleges just across the bridge who for some reason were offering people cream cakes. The big box were offering free cream cakes. And I had in fact started a diet, had little problems with blood pressure, and I was told to lose weight rapidly while they checked me up. And I'd come over to America and I decided no cakes, no biscuits, nothing sweet, no bread, which worked quite well. And they gave me cream cakes. So I had to say no. And they were a bit shocked, their faces fell. So I still feel a little bad about that. I still think of Brooklyn as a place where people offer you free cream cakes, and the place where I refused. Food itself is, if you think about it, bound up with trust. The offering of food might seem strange, but go into it. Animals eat food naturally, they know what they like. And in fact, one of the ways we gain the trust of animals is by offering them food. If you offer a horse in a field some grass, it'll come over, eat out of your hand. Cows in the field, dogs we can feed, cats. You can even entice little birds over if you hold seed in your hand. You stay very still and just wait. For animals, it's natural. For us, a little less natural. But that same primeval act of trust is embedded in how we eat. Because food itself isn't something that we prepare for ourselves entirely. Even in the ancient world, it was a communal process. Between those who plant, those who water, those who pick the grain, those who prepare it, those who store it, those who perhaps sell it or bring it to cities. Food itself is a communal process, and in eating food, we're showing an act of trust. In the modern world, that's even more true. We rely on each other to feed each other, which, I might say in passing, is why there's nothing wrong with the great elaborate efforts we make to keep people in comas alive by feeding them. To say that this is some complex process, not the same as feeding, shows a misunderstanding of what the whole process of eating itself, which is always complex and very bound up with how our society functions. But get back to that basic primeval act of eating food which has been offered. We see how primeval it is, how fundamental, from the fact that animals quite naturally eat from our hands. It's a thing that happens. Human beings share food. And the sharing of food is an act of trust. We sit and we eat. The word companion itself means someone who shares bread with you. And the sharing of food is something that occurs in that metaphor, and in fact, and indeed, in the Bible quite often, how we eat together. Christ reveals himself to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they recognize him at the breaking of bread. Trust is bound up with eating. the trust between human beings and human beings. And yet now we come to this passage where that trust is challenged to the utmost. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? How can we trust him? He says such strange things. But in fact, here we've come to the ultimate act of trust. We've come to the most powerful form of trust that can be. Here we have an act of trust between God and man, which in Christ and all his people, all humanity. If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you. Eternal life comes from eating the flesh of the Son of Man and drinking his blood. And it's because Christ is sharing his life. I'm sent by the living Father, and I myself draw life from the Father. Trust in God is manifested in the reception of the Eucharist, taking that food and drink, taking his life. That's why I think this primeval act of trust, which we see when we feed animals, we see in the way that animals themselves, who are nervous and timorous, will overcome their fear for the sake of food. You see it sometimes in people who are very hurt and damaged. The only way you can communicate with them, when they're active, when they're suspicious and afraid, but offering them food. They snatch the food out of our hands. Children who have been abused or abandoned or not cared for, prisoners in camps, when they're fed, they show that capacity to trust. That's why it seems to be appropriate that the Eucharist itself is this great challenge to trust utterly, to entrust ourselves to him, as he himself has entrusted himself to us. What the Eucharist is a primeval act of trust, made spiritual, made sacramental, and made a way of trusting God. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Well, we talk about Eucharistic theology, but I think I can say quite simply and quite clearly, never in this world has any human being, apart from Christ himself, been able to answer that question. The how cannot be answered in this world, not properly. Theories of Eucharist are merely clearing away some of the misunderstandings to try and get closer to the reality. We cannot understand how. It's not the how that can be understood. It's only the fact. He does give us his flesh and blood to eat. In so doing, he is entrusting himself to us utterly and completely. The power of God. The first reading, too, involves trust, because Paul's blindness is cured by Ananias having to trust God. And Ananias is not willing to trust God. This man persecutes the people. But without Ananias, it would not have been possible for Paul to sit up, receive his sight, and to get in his mission. It seems to me not insignificant that the first thing he does is take some food. Immediately it was as though the scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. So he was baptized there and then. After taking some food, he regained his strength, began preaching in the synagogues, Jesus is the Son of God. Paul, or Saul as he what then was, receives food. Presumably food from Ananias. The primeval act of trust becomes a spiritual act of trust. Becomes a way in which human beings can share in the life of God.